Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, in a bid for political survival, made a command performance today at the Kremlin and then heard his chief rival call for a no-confidence vote in the government. Jonathan Sanders reports.
Mikhail Gorbachev made what amounted to a State of the Soviet Union speech today to the Soviet Parliament. To solve the country's worsening economic and political crisis, he promised a shakeup in the Soviet government within 10 days. And Gorbachev promised to change the leadership of the Soviet military. No one knew quite what that meant, but they know change is coming. Gorbachev pointedly rejected assertions that the army had lost faith in him. Gorbachev was generous in apportioning blame during his 90-minute speech. He said the country's deteriorating economic situation was the fault of many people out in the Soviet countryside. Too many people, he said, wanted debate actions ordered by the president instead of carrying them out. But Gorbachev's arch-rival Boris Yeltsin said such words were not enough. He called for the formation of an anti-crisis committee and a coalition government to pull the country out of its economic slide. But the bulldozer of radical reform said he could work with Mikhail Gorbachev, that they could work together to save the Soviet Union from an economic and political tragedy. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
President Bush leaves tonight for Czechoslovakia, Germany, and the European Security Summit in Paris, at which he and Gorbachev will meet. Mr. Bush will spend Thanksgiving with U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia. Interviewed on CNN, the president said the Gulf will not become another Vietnam, but he added the huge U.S. buildup is a clear clarion signal to Saddam Hussein.
We are deadly serious about seeing you get out of Kuwait and about those hostages, Americans and others, being freed, and about the sanctity of our embassy being respected, and about the stability of the world economic system. Make no mistake about it.
Saddam Hussein was also on American television telling ABC News through a translator he will not retreat from Kuwait. He said he regrets holding Americans against their will, but said the human shields do serve a purpose.
The presence of these people may help retract anybody who may opt for war or
push things towards war.
It may make them hesitate a little before jumping into a decision of this nature.
Soviet leader Gorbachev continues to press for an Arab solution to the Gulf crisis, and his Middle East envoy, Yevgeny Primakov, is calling for a delay in a UN resolution authorizing the use of force against Iraq. Interviewed on public television's McNeil Lehrer NewsHour, Primakov said through a translator, the last diplomatic cards have not been played.
I don't think that they already have been fully used. We still have some things in our pockets. And we have to get them out of our pockets. We have to do everything possible to avoid a military solution.
Egypt's President Mubarak is also quoted today as calling for a 2 or 3 month pause before any military action. Inflation is running at an annual rate of almost 9%, with last month's 0.6% rise in consumer prices. The culprit remains high energy prices due to the Persian Gulf crisis. And despite sky-high oil imports, the U.S. trade deficit shrank over 3% last month. It's the first improvement since June. Senate Ethics Committee counsel Robert Bennett today resumes his presentation of the case against the Keating Five, who will then get a chance to defend their efforts to shield contributor Charles Keating from federal thrift regulators. As Rob Armstrong reports, Bennett's strongest case is against Democratic Senators DeConcini, Regal, and Cranston.
Bennett said the question is not whether the senators intervened with federal regulators to help S&L operator Charles Keating. The question is whether they did so improperly. Bennett indicated that there is no evidence yet that Keating's money influenced John Glenn's actions, and he said there is no evidence of wrongdoing by John McCain. McCain talked to reporters.
I'm certainly relieved about that. Obviously, we have a long way to go, but his view that I'm exonerated is very, very critical in this whole affair.
The ethics questions are being played out against the backdrop of the whole S&L crisis. For example, the failure of Charles Keating's Lincoln Savings and Loan is going to cost taxpayers some $2 billion. And some observers are saying that the political penalties may be more severe than anything the committee will dish out. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Cranston's lawyer has asked that Senator Helms not sit in judgment on Cranston because of statements Helms made during the campaign on the case. Today is the deadline set by federal Judge William Hoover for Manuel Noriega's lawyers and the government to work out a plan for paying the ex-Panamanian leader's legal fees. Otherwise, he may be declared indigent and given a public defender. Cable News Network is demanding the FBI return a box of recordings and papers related to the government's taping of Noriega's jailhouse phone calls. The material was taken by hotel security guards from a CNN reporter's Atlanta hotel room and turned over to the FBI. The network wants the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn a federal judge's order, which it's already defied, barring it from airing the Noriega tapes. Desert Shield Commander Norman Schwarzkopf and his generals had a special interest in last night's launch of Shuttle Atlantis. Bruce Hall reports from NASA's Florida spaceport.
Atlantis thundered into orbit, propelled atop a pillar of flames with the seventh and last top-secret Defense Department mission for the shuttle.
All systems performing well, engines at 104%.
The flight is 4 months behind schedule and has been shrouded in secrecy. But NASA Administrator Richard Truly says all appears to be going well.
This was really just about as smooth a count and a liftoff in the early few minutes of a mission that I've ever seen.
The goal of this flight is to put a spy satellite above the Persian Gulf area to keep an eye on the movements of the Iraqi army. The secret spy satellite is not expected to be deployed until later today or possibly Saturday. And it may be a month or more before it is operating over the Middle East, gathering material for U.S. troop commanders. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Kennedy Space Center.
A pro basketball star's image has been tarnished. James Satori has that.
James Worthy arrived late for the Lakers game against Houston last night. The all-star forward couldn't make the first quarter because he was busy making bail on two charges of soliciting prostitution.
This is not a pretty situation. You know, I really hadn't had a chance to really dwell on it.
Worthy was arrested just hours before the game. He allegedly called in escort service. The two women who showed up at his hotel room were undercover police women. Houston police spokesman Danny Turner.
A solicitation by Mr. Worthy was made to cut a deal with the females to participate in prostitution, and at that point, he was arrested.
Worthy, who was a star player at North Carolina before joining the Lakers, has a wife and infant child. Lakers coach Mike Dunleavy says he was surprised by the arrest.
We support James 100%. He's always been the finest human being, fine player, fine citizen.
Worthy went on to score 24 points against the Rockets, including the final basket in a Laker victory. The next court he enters, perhaps later today, will be for arraignment. James Hattori, CBS News, Houston.
Overseas, the dollar is higher. London gold is up over a dollar. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials are ahead 13.12. It's 10 past 7.